Thank you for calling the Depo Provera helpline. My name is John. This is a recorded call. Who do I have the pleasure to speak to today?
Sherry Brenner.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good. My name is John Maurer, and I'm a case intake specialist for the Depo Provera lawsuit. I'm assuming you'd like to see if you meet the criteria to participate in this lawsuit. Is that correct?
Am I allowed to talk, or is the other lady going to talk for me? I just don't want to talk out of turn.
You are. You're welcome to speak to me.
Are we still on a three-way call?
I don't believe so. I think she transferred you over, and then I'll take over from this point forward.
Okay, so let me just explain something to you. My daughter is an attorney.
Okay.
She is a master's attorney loan officer. I did a Depo Provera, and she does not think I should continue pressing on with this claim. She thinks it's a bunch of BS and it's a this and it's a tort suit. She's like driving me insane. She's 32. I've had 5 brain surgeries. I had 2 meningiomas in my spinal cord, in my cerebellum. They took it all out. I have been a revolving patient in Columbia Presbyterian in New York for almost 5 years. I have my annual checkup coming up. I am as nervous as can be. I have a metal plate in my head forever.
Sherry,
I will never be able to. Well, I'm alive. I'm here, okay? They took my occipital nerves. I'll never smell or taste ever again. I had an aneurysm behind my eye.
Okay.
They removed that. They also put another piece of plastic in my head,
sorry,
behind my eye.
I sense your frustration, and I'd like to help you. So I'm a case intake specialist for the Depo Provera lawsuit. What you can expect is
you're not a lawyer. You're just like
correct.
A legal assistant, right?
Yeah, let me give you an explanation. So what I do is, you're right, I'm not a lawyer. What I'm trained to do is conduct interviews.
I only know this because of my case.
I understand. Thank you. So what I'm trained to do is ask you questions to determine if you meet the criteria to participate in this lawsuit. And if you do, I will connect you with one of the firms that we work with that will represent you on a contingency basis to get compensated for damages. I hear the frustration in your voice.
I had to quit my job. I worked for the state for 21 freaking years.
Yeah.
I'm medically retired. I'm an A person, like type A personality.
Yes.
I hate being home.
I understand. I do. But the most important thing is by participating in this lawsuit, if you meet the criteria to get justice in the form of compensation for past medical bills, future medical bills, pain and suffering, as well as a loss of income that may be attributed to getting treatments.
Oh, my God. I totally.
Sherry,
what
I'm going to do is ask you a series of questions, and they're designed for me to determine whether or not you meet the criteria to participate in this lawsuit. If you do, towards the end of the call, I will send you an agreement that's going to be made between you and the law firm that we work with, along with an authorization to release medical records. Obviously, this is based on people that have used Depo Provera and were later diagnosed with a meningioma. And if you're not familiar with this is a fairly new mass lawsuit, or it's not a class action, but it's similar to a class action.
It's a tort one. I know, she told me.
It's called a multi-district.
It's a tort class action suit, right?
It's actually technically called a multi-district litigation. It basically, it's like a class action, but the primary difference is that each person that participates in this lawsuit gets a unique amount of compensation. Unlike a class action, all the plaintiffs are treated equally, and when an agreement is reached for compensation for damages, all the plaintiffs split that compensation equally. Does that make sense? So the compensation is going to be unique to your circumstances. So
it's like an individual one versus a group.
Correct. Well, you're participating in a group for efficiency reasons, but how your compensation or damages is calculated is based on your own personal experience. So before I go further,
go ahead and ask me the questions. Go right ahead, please.
Thank you, Sherry. Did you already get an attorney?
And if we get disconnected, I want to give you my phone number.
Okay, thank you.
In case we get disconnected, can you call me back?
Yeah, absolutely. Is your phone number 201-889-7868?
You bet.
Okay, great. Sherry, I will call you if we have trouble staying connected.
God forbid, because, you know, I live by Newark Airport. Like a lot of the planes, whatever, like it's windy. I get loss of service.
I get it.
Out of the blue.
All right. I know your time's valuable. This takes roughly about 30 minutes to go through the questions.
No problem. I got time.
Great. I do need to ask, did you already get an attorney to assist you with filing a claim?
Okay. I'll be honest with you. I've had about 30 million phone calls and text messages or whatever, emails.
Okay.
I have reached out to some, and I have not signed anything, and I have not sent anything back, but I am still getting a lot of phone calls. I don't know how they found out. I did speak to my doctors in Columbia about it, and, you know, they kind of were like,
Sherry, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to confirm. It sounds like you did not get an attorney to assist you with filing a claim. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And then, were you diagnosed with a meningioma after taking Depo-Provera for at least 1 year?
Okay, I took Depo-Provera a long time ago, and I was diagnosed with my meningioma in February of 21.
February of 2021?
No, I took the Depo-Provera from 1988 to 1992, and then I took it again from 1994 to 1997.
Okay, let me repeat that, okay? So you've provided quite a bit of information, okay? Bear with me here. So you started Depo-Provera between 1988 to 1992?
Uh-huh.
And then you started again in 1994 to when?
97.
Okay, to 1997. Okay. All right, so collectively you've got 4 years between 88 and 92, and then you have 3 years between 94 and 97?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so about 7 years altogether?
Okay.
And
if you want to count the years, I never had to do that, but yeah.
Okay, and then can I ask you, when were you diagnosed with a meningioma?
February, I could tell you March 5th, 2021, because the accident I had was in February of 2021.
Let me confirm. The date of your diagnosis for meningioma would have been March 5th, 2021. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. And then are you willing to affirm under penalty that you have not signed any agreement with a law firm for representation for this Depo-Provera lawsuit?
Of course.
Okay, thank you. I do know you spoke to different legal entities, but you haven't really officially signed documents with another law firm, which is very important. And I take it you are an adult over age 18. If you meet this criteria to participate in this lawsuit, a law firm can represent you to help you with filing a claim. Is that right? In other words, this claim is for yourself. You're the person that was injured by it.
I'm the person, exactly.
Okay. All right, and then Sherry, you're both a resident as well as a citizen of the United States?
100%.
All right, thank you. And then could you provide me, please, your date of birth?
June 20th, 1965.
All right, very good. Let me confirm I have that correct. I have June 20th, that's 20, and that's the year 1965.
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. And then,
I'm 59 years old.
Thank you. Sherry, do you know anyone else that has also received Depo injections and was later diagnosed with a meningioma similar to yourself? Anyone else you know?
No.
Okay. All right.
One lady. I do know one person, but she died like 6 months ago. She lives around the corner from me.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Had a stroke.
I'm sorry to hear that, Sherry. What I'd like to do is towards the end of our call, I'll be providing you my name and direct contact number here at the office, and I'll send it to you by text. And if you would kindly share it with the family members of that person that you know, the next of kin or the survivors of her estate may be able to file a claim if she meets the criteria, okay?
I personally don't want to get involved with that family. I'm sorry.
Okay, then, all right, that's fine. All right, then I'll let you make a decision on your own. Okay, now, the next set of questions are designed for me to understand how you use the product. First of all, did you use the brand name Depo Provera?
No clue.
No clue. Okay. Let me ask you a question. Your uses...
You mean generic versus...
Correct, yeah.
Generic versus, like, brand name.
Yes, correct.
I don't know.
Well, did
you... said it was Depo Provera.
All right, if it was...
I never saw the name.
Okay, if it's Depo Provera, if it goes by Depo Provera, it is the brand name. If it's the generic name, it would be something else other than Depo Provera. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah.
Okay. In other words, does it sound familiar that you were prescribed and taken Depo Provera as opposed to another different medicine name?
Yes.
Okay,
yes, very good. I definitely Depo Provera.
Okay. And did you use Depo Provera for at least 1 year prior to your diagnosis?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's all it takes is a year's worth of exposure. Now, during that year, did you have at least 4 injections prior to your diagnosis?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then the next question is this. Now, the law firms we work with, in particular, are taking cases where the usage of the product is recent. And you had cited that you had first started Depo Provera in the year 1988 and you stopped in 1992, but you resumed getting injections beginning in 1994 and ending in 1997. So I'm going to exclude the period that's before 1992, and I'm going to focus on the period that's after 1994 because that's the qualifying period that the firms are looking for. So I just want to confirm you did use the product between 1994 and 1997. Is that right?
I did, and I do have an issue. That's one thing. Well, it was not FDA approved back then in 88 until 91 when it was, quote, approved, and I feel that those years she was giving it to me, like, there was no way for me to know any of this back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have never done it in 94 if that was the case. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand. Like, all right, that's very interesting you bring that up. Okay. All right, let me go back to these questions. Now, the law firms do request the approximate start dates and end dates. So do you happen to – you wouldn't know the exact date or month that you started Depo Provera in 1994, would you?
I don't remember the month, no.
All right.
I would have to probably go look at my EOBs from the medical department.
Okay.
I had
insurance
then, too.
Let me just give you some insight. The law firm does allow for approximate dates. So with your permission, what I'd like to do is just put January 1st, 1994 as the approximate or estimated start date until proven otherwise. Would that be okay?
Yes.
Okay. And do you happen to recall when you stopped taking or when your last Depo injection was in 1997? Do you remember that?
I would say December.
December. Okay, so that's what I'll do. I'll put December 31st. That's the last day in the year 1997. And so that would be our estimated or approximate stop date. So for usage dates, we're entering January 1st, 1994 is when the approximate start date and the approximate end date we're going to enter is December 31st, 1997. Is that all right with you?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, Sherry, now I'm going to ask some information about yourself. This will help us prepare if you meet the criteria for the legal agreement between you and the firm. All right, and I'm going to confirm your gender is female, correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and your marital status?
It's married, 40 years.
Married. Oh, 40 years. Very good. Excellent. And then now... 40. Yes, that's what I heard. Okay, 40. Thank you. Married is your legal marital status. All right, and can you spell out your first name for me, please?
Okay, it's S is in Sam, H is in Harry, A is in Apple, R is in Robert, I is in ice cream. Sherry.
Sherry, excellent. Okay, that's Sierra.
S-H-A-R-I.
All right, that's exactly what I've documented. And do you have a middle initial?
S.
S as in Snake. Sierra? S
like,
as in Snake? Okay.
S as in Sue,
Yes, S as in Sue. That's your middle name initial?
Yes.
Okay. And then your last name, please.
I'll spell it. B as in boy. R as in Robert. E as in egg. N as in nut. N as in nut. E as in egg. R as in Robert. Brenner.
Okay. Brenner.
Like David Brenner, the comedian? Brenner,
yes.
B-R-E-N-N-E-R.
Correct, yes. Okay, very good. I've got that. B as in boy, R-E-N-N-E-R, Brenner. Sherry S. Brenner. Okay, and just to confirm, you don't have a suffix to your name, like a junior, senior, first, second, or third, is that right?
No.
Okay.
No.
Now, if you meet the criteria, not only would you be signing an agreement towards the end of our call that would connect you with the law firm, but you would also be signing an authorization to release medical records. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is a medical injury that you would have received after receiving the depot injections. And the law firm would need to gather medical records as evidence of your diagnosis and treatment. On this authorization to release medical records, we'll need to put your information, like your name and your social, on that form. So that way the doctor and hospital can gather the appropriate records that are relevant to you. Can I get
all my stuff is on the portal from Columbia. I mean, I can see everything going back to the first surgery. I mean, I'm talking millions of dollars, like literally.
Good.
I have everything. I can write on there.
I'm sorry.
To get the records to you and release them.
That's right. You're going to be signing, if you meet the criteria, you would sign an authorization to release medical records for the firm. And so, but we do need your social.
Oh.
Could you provide us the social, please?
Oh, I hate giving my social out. Only because everybody hacks everything.
I know. I I assure you, we're a legal marketing firm. I'm a case intake specialist, and this social is for the sole purpose of placing it on the authorization to release medical records. That's basically allowing the law firm to request medical records and so forth.
I just don't want to be hacked again. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've already been hacked twice.
I understand. Oh, that's awful.
Through
my
medical. I'll give you my social. It's 139-68-1626.
Okay. Let me repeat it just to make sure I have it correct. I have 139-68-1626. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then any forms that you sign, the authorization for legal representation, the request for medical records, I will send you copies to your email address, but I will need your email address.
Okay. It's J. E, F as in Frank, F as in Frank, pickup, P-I-C-K-U-P at AOL.com.
Okay. And let me repeat that back to you. That would be Jeff, J-E-F-F, pick, P-I-C-K, up, U-P at AOL.com.
Yes.
Okay. And then the phone number we've already confirmed, this does belong to you, this number 201-88.
Oh, yeah, it's my account.
Okay,
I'm the holder.
I just would like to confirm it's 889-7868.
201 area code.
Yes, correct. Okay, great. And this is a smartphone?
iPhone 16.
Okay, very good. So you could receive a text message from me with a link to the forms to sign?
Uh-huh.
Okay, very good. And then so I do need to advise you that it may appear that you're all done signing up if you meet the criteria by completing this interview, signing the authorization for legal representation, signing the authorization for medical records. It would seem as if you're done. But I do need to let you know there's one final step, and that's a case verification call that occurs between you and the representative from the law firm. What they want to do very quickly,
uh-huh,
in a matter of minutes, just verify that you did, in fact, have received depot injection in the past. You were diagnosed with a meningioma, and they do want to hear that it's okay that for them to submit the request for medical records. That's like an acknowledgement between you and the firm to know that they're working on your case. That's called a case verification call. That generally occurs within the next 24 to 48 hours after you signing the agreement. So what would be the best time that you can be reached by the firm? Would that be morning, afternoon, or evening?
Not morning. I'm not a morning chicken anymore.
I would say afternoon, then?
I would say anytime after 1 o'clock.
Okay, very good. All right. I'll make a note of that for the firm. All right, now I can ask for your residence, please, your address.
124 West, W-E-S-T, 10th Street, like the number 10,
okay.
T-H Street, Bayonne, B-A-Y-O-N-E. NME, New Jersey, 07002.
Okay, got it. Is that a house there on West 10th Street?
Yep.
Okay, so there's
and
no
I'm
unit.
The owner.
There's no unit number, apartment number?
No.
Okay.
My name is on the mailbox. I have a tenant downstairs.
Okay.
That's it.
Great, Sherry. Let me just verify that I have the address correct. It is 124 West 10th Street. That's Bayonne, Bayonne, New Jersey, 07002.
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. All right, now the next series of questions are designed to get the law firm familiar with your medical diagnosis and treatment. So for starters, we'll ask the name of the doctor that diagnosed your meningioma on March 5th, 2021.
Doctor, well, there's four of them, actually, but they're all neurology. I have to give you all four names because they were all there.
Well, technically, generally, it's one particular doctor that may take the lead in handling your medical care. And so, generally, there may be a collaboration of doctors, but who was your primary doctor, primary neurologist that provided the, or informed you that it was a meningioma that they detected?
There were three that day in that office, all three neurologists.
Okay, but who did most of the talking?
They were with me from everything, from day one. All three of them were literally in every surgery, at every appointment. I can't say that there's one that's in charge.
Okay.
They all work together like a team. And, I mean, I'll give you one name and go from there, but I'm telling you, all three of them were from day one with me.
Do you believe that one may have had more responsibility than the other or may have supervised the work of the other doctors?
No, I can't say that.
Okay. Because it is unusual.
I can't say one was more powerful. You know what I'm trying to say? I can't say one was more in charge or one was more powerful or one was telling the other one what to do. I can't because all three of them were in every one of my surgeries.
Okay.
And every diagnosis.
Okay.
And in the hospital, they all visited me.
What is the name of the hospital? Well, first, let me ask you this. Where did you receive the diagnosis? Was it in a hospital setting or was it in a clinical setting?
It was in Columbia Presbyterian. It's 168 Fort Washington Parkway,
okay.
Bronx, New York. And it's the neurology building or the Milstein building, which is the neurology.
Okay, 1 second here, okay. Okay, was that the location on 168th Street?
Yep.
Okay. So it's actually considered New York Presbyterian or Columbia University Irving Medical Center on 622 West 168th Street, New York. All right, and then what was the name of one of the doctors that was involved in your diagnosis or rendered the diagnosis?
Okay, well, I'll give you one name then. Dr. Michael Sisti, S-I-S-T-I.
1 second. S-I-S-T-Y?
No, S-I-S-T-I.
Oh, Sisti, S-I-S-T-I, thank you. Okay, I see Dr. Michael B. Sisti.
And his partner is Connolly, Sander Connolly. He was my, you know, he was there too. Dr. Sander, S-A-N-D-E-R, C-O-N-N-E-L-L-Y.
Wait, 1 second, I'm sorry. Let me just...
And then Levine.
Pardon me, Sherry, you're going a little bit too close. Let me just take a moment to document that. Michael B. Sisti, Dr. Michael B. Sisti, MD, neurological surgery. He is affiliated with Columbia University. I see that. Medical Center. Bear with me here. Dr. Michael B. Sisti. Okay. And that's, again, this was diagnosed at Presbyterian Hospital in New York City.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Pardon the silence. I'm just, and what I'm doing is, when you tell me these names of these doctors and these facilities, I search them on the internet, verify them, and then copy and paste this information into our intake screen here. Bear with me here.
I have their phone numbers as well if you need them. I mean, I have their cell numbers too. How's that?
That's very good. Bear with me here, actually.
They saved my life. I can't, you know. I can't just, you know, have a grudge on them. They're the most amazing men in the world.
Yes, I can see that you appreciate them, and I understandably so. It was a very disconcerting time for you when you got this diagnosis, and you must have been relieved to be knowing that you're under excellent care. Okay, so I have doctor.
I didn't know anything.
I have a phone number.
Because I seized in my attic, you understand?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So I have a phone number, a general phone number for the hospital at 212-305-2500. That should be okay.
Yep.
Okay. Very good.
Sure. If you want to go through that way, they'll just patch you all over the place. I can give you their direct line if you want to hold a minute.
Okay.
I have them right here.
Sure. What is that number?
I'm going to get it. They're all in my contacts. Hold on a second. Here we go. I don't want to give you that his number. That's his cell number. Hold on. All right. Try 212-304-5908.
212-304-5908.
Okay. He has two numbers, actually. The other one is 212-305-8680.
8680. Okay, one second here. I have his office at 710 West 168th Street, New York, and a phone number for Dr. Sisti at 212-305-1728.
Oh, hold on. Let me look at my contacts.
It's not necessary. Sherry, to be very frank with you.
Oh, wait a minute. That's Connie's number. What did
okay.
you say the number was?
I'm sorry, Sherry. Let me clarify something here, okay? If I understood you correctly, you stated that you received the diagnosis in a hospital setting, and that hospital was New York Presbyterian Columbia University Irving Medical Center on 168th Street in New York. If that's true, then what I can do is I can just put the general phone number from the hospital that I've gathered from the internet and use that. And then the law firm would know where to contact that hospital, get medical records.
Sure.
Okay, great. Okay, now, did you have a different doctor that actually, once after your diagnosis, did you have a different doctor that treated your meningioma? Or was it the same doctor, Michael Sisti, that oversaw your treatment?
It was all three of them that oversaw
everything. I know you said. And so Michael Sisti, Dr. Michael Sisti, was also involved in your treatment?
From day one.
Okay, very good. Okay, so not only did he diagnose you, but he also treated you. And did your treatment also occur at New York Presbyterian Columbia Hospital, Columbia University Hospital?
Yep.
Okay.
All the surgeries.
Thank you. I'm sorry to hear. We'll talk about the surgeries in just a moment. I can't even imagine the stress and duress that you're in because of this diagnosis.
Right.
And I can see your case was probably complex. And the law firm would be very interested in talking to you. Now, Sherry, did you have a prior cancer diagnosis before being diagnosed for meningioma?
Never. No.
No.
Nope.
Okay.
No.
Nope. Right.
Nope. The only thing I ever had was this. Before my meningioma, 2 years before that, I had a full GI blowout. I blew out all four parts of my colon. I bled out for 8 days.
Oh, I'm
I was
sorry
in the
that.
Hospital.
Wow,
and I lost all my bilirubin. So, you know, I don't know if that has any bearing on it, because after about a year, I went back to work. So I don't know.
Okay.
Like, but yes, I had a full GI blowout before COVID. They don't know what it's from. I had H. pylori, celiac from it, all that nonsense.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Endoscopy, colonoscopy. Yep.
Okay, but there was no formal cancer diagnosis before your meningioma diagnosis,
no,
correct?
No, never.
Okay.
Nope.
All right.
No,
okay.
Never. Thank God.
Thank you. All right. So, Sherry, I'm going to make note of the additional doctors. You said there was three doctors that were involved in both your diagnosis as well as your treatment. We've covered one, Dr. Michael B. Sisti. And actually, bear with me here. And he is neurological surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the name of the other doctor, other two, well, the next doctor? We'll
okay,
go one at a time.
The next one is Sean, S-E-A-N.
Okay.
And last name, Lavigne, L-A-V-I-G-N-E.
Okay. And he's also at Columbia in New York?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Look him up. See if you find him.
I'm actually looking him up right
He's
now.
He's the most handsome one. He's so handsome. Oh, my God. I love him.
It looks like he is an anesthesiologist. Dr. Sean
no.
E. Lavigne. Lavigne. I show him as...
No,
Lavigne.
L-A-V-I-G-N-E.
Yeah, L-A-V-I-G-N-E.
I-G-N-E.
Yeah. L-A-V...
I-G-N-E.
Oh, you know what I found him? Oh, no, he is actually Columbia Neurosurgery as well. Okay, Dr. Sean
know.
D. Lavigne. It's L-I-V-I-N-E.
Yep.
L-A-V-I-N-E.
Really? Because I'm looking at my paperwork and it's L-A-V-I-G-N-E. I don't know. That's weird. Hold on. I want to make sure that...
So I have Dr. S-E-A-N, middle initial D as in David, Lavigne, L-A-V-I-N-E, M-D, neurological surgery.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know what? L-A-V-I-N-E. I'm looking at it now
okay.
on the computer. And
it is. Okay.
I guess he switched me. And the other one is Connolly. E.
Wait, one second.
Period.
Sherry, hold that thought for just a moment. Let me just finish catching up with Dr. Sean Levine's information, okay? Sean D. Lavigne, M.D., neurological surgery. Okay. And, okay, now I'm ready for the third and final doctor that was involved in your diagnosis as well as treatment.
Okay. E. period. Sander. S-A-N-D-E-R.
Uh-huh.
Connolly. I think it's, let me see my paperwork. See, it's on my portal.
I found them. I found
okay.
them. Yeah, he's also neurosurgery. Dr. E. Sander Connolly, MD, also out of Columbia Neurosurgery.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually a junior too, by the way.
Is he? Oh, well,
yeah.
I don't remember that, but okay.
I found
he's,
that.
He's amazing.
Good, good. I'm pleased
he's
you're
a neurologist also.
It sounds like you were under the very best medical care at Columbia University.
Well, I wouldn't go to the Boneyard where my husband works in Bayonne. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'd call Bayonne Hospital the Boneyard.
Oh, Boneyard. So I'm sorry to hear that. All right. Okay. So let me just summarize.
Oh, it's not a good one.
Let me summarize what we've captured so far. So we've gathered the names of the doctors that diagnosed you as well as treated you. And I placed it's Dr. Michael B. Sisti, Dr. Sean D. Lavigne, and Dr. E. Sander Connolly Jr. They're all at New York Presbyterian Columbia University Irving Medical Center. That's located at 622 West 168th Street, New York, New York, 10032. And I got the phone number for the hospital from the internet. That's 212-305-2500. That should be sufficient for the firm to be able to contact both.
Yeah, they'll just patch you through.
Yes, indeed. All right. Okay. And And just to confirm, you were diagnosed and treated at the same New York Presbyterian Columbia University Hospital,
the
correct?
Whole time. I All never right. went to a different place. Absolutely.
Thank you, Sherry. All right, so the next question I'm going to ask is the name of the doctor that originally prescribed your Depo-Provera, or at least just prescribed you during the year 1994 through 97.
Okay, her name is Dr. Anaka, A-N-A-K-A, Prakash. P-R-A-K-A-S-H.
Okay. And was she also at Columbia Presbyterian?
No. She's in Bayonne, where I live. I think she's at 534 Avenue E now.
Okay.
Her office.
I found her. Okay. Dr. Sasha Prakash.
No, that's her. Yeah. Anaka Sasha, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a OBGYN in Bayonne, New Jersey.
Yep.
And it looks like she is at, let's see here, what's the address for her? It looks like she's at 534 Avenue East. Does that sound about right to you?
Yep.
Okay.
I think so.
Thank you. Bear with me here.
Sure.
Okay. And then when she prescribed you Depo-Provera, did she work for a clinic, or did she have her own medical practice?
No,
or
she had
work
her own
for a
practice.
Clinic?
She was private. She was her own.
That's
you know,
all. Okay,
she was
got
the
it.
Only one in there.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and just to confirm, her address is 534
Avenue E.
Yes. And then I also have a phone number for her, too. That number comes up as area code 201-858-8444.
Yep.
Okay, bear with me here.
That sounds familiar, actually.
Does it? Okay. Good memory. Good memory. See, you're
trying
very...
to keep my cognitive end up, trust me.
Sherry, you are a strong woman and you're a survivor. I really admire that quality in you. All right, and then...
Well, the thing is, I'm not done torturing the ones that I love on Earth.
I know. Okay. Yes, you're not done. Okay, you have plenty. You have much more work to do. I get it. All right. Okay, so then the next question I have for you is, do you have any copy of medical records that can confirm your diagnosis as well or treatments? Do you have any medical records you could share with the law firm?
Yeah, it's all on my portal. Every single thing is on my portal.
That's,
everything.
That's great. And the law firm
I have an app. It's
great. Very good. Excellent, Sherry. The law firm may ask that you provide those records either by mail or copies sent by fax or email. Would that be okay with you?
Yes.
Okay, great.
There's probably about 50,000 pages, so be prepared.
Great, that's fine. It'll actually go to the law firm if they agree to take your case. And remember, what you can expect is we do this interview, you meet the criteria, we have you sign the legal agreement between you and the firm, and then we sign the authorization to release medical records. Then the final step is the case verification call between you and the firm, the law firm. That's within 24 to 48 hours. And if they agree to take your case, then they'll instruct you how to send documents or tell you, hey, don't worry about sending documents. We'll get them on our own. So, all right. We're getting
and if I'm approved, how many years is it going to take before I see a penny?
That's something you'd have to discuss with a law firm. I can tell you it's going to take some time. It is a pretty complex case. You're not alone. Many people like yourself have been harmed by the Depo injections. So please be patient. That's all
really? We
ask. Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah, you're not alone. Unfortunately, plenty of people unknowingly received these injections and did not know that these injections are linked to meningiomas.
Why didn't my doctors in Columbia ask me if I ever took a Depo-Provera shot? Because they didn't know at that time that this shit was causing it, correct?
Right.
That's why they never said it.
Yes, and I'll bet you if you had a conversation with your doctors now, they would be better informed and better, more knowledgeable about the matter. All right, so we're getting Sherry, we're getting close to wrapping up, and towards the end of the call, remember I'll be sending you a text message with a link to the forms to sign. Once we finish signing, you and I will be done, but there is that final step, the case verification call with the law firm. So I do need to ask, the law firm requests an emergency contact in case something unfortunate happens to you. This ensures that they can continue your case for your loved ones. typically the only contact, your emergency contact, if you're unable to be reached for an extended period of time. This is a precaution that helps prevent disruptions to your case. Who would you like to list as your emergency contact?
Okay, let me just explain something to you.
Okay.
Okay, I'm all for that and everything, right? Now, the thing is, my husband, he's a diabetic, right? And I was supposed to have my yearly checkup on about a month ago. But he had some issues with his sugar, okay? So I canceled all my appointments through the portal, but I never rescheduled. So they must have called me, and I didn't respond. And the whole thing exactly of what just you're saying, they called every member on my list, my husband, my kids, and everybody went crazy nuts because they, you know, they didn't want to, they didn't know I canceled it, and they all were kind of freaking out. So, like, I don't want to do that again, but I'll give you I'll give you my daughter's number. I mean,
does she live with
she
you?
Don't answer the phone for anybody, though. She's an attorney, but she don't answer the phone, and I don't even know if she listens to her messages.
Okay, that's
I'm going to give you my husband's number.
Okay, and he lives with you, correct?
His name is Jeff. Yeah, he's my, 40 years.
Okay. His name is Jeff, J-E-F-F?
His name is Jeff. Yeah, same last name as mine.
Okay. Thank
his
you.
His cell is 551.
Wait one second here. Hold on for just a moment. So it's J-E-F-F, and it's Brenner, B-R-E-N-N-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is your husband?
Mm-hmm.
And his phone number?
Mm-hmm. 551.
Okay.
312-2834.
Okay. Jeff Brenner, 551-312-2834.
Mm-hmm.
And here's your
and
husband.
And he has a smartphone, so he can receive text messages also.
Okay, well, we'll just that's only for emergency contact reasons, emergency contact purposes. All right, and then he does live with you at 124 West 10th Street
oh,
in
yes,
Bayonne.
He does.
Okay, very good.
Correct.
All right, bear with me here, okay? And mm-hmm. would you happen to know his email address by any chance?
It's the same one as mine. We share it. Jeff,
okay.
Pickup at AOL.com.
Okay, very good. Okay, got it. You both share the email, jeffpickup@AOL.com, and I'm going to copy and paste that.
He is not technology savvy.
It's okay. He just if the law firm can't reach you, then he may be contacted to ask, like, hey, is everything okay with Sherry? Do you know how we can get in touch with her? That kind of thing. That's the purpose of this emergency contact.
He's 65. That's, he's a little older than me, so that's why the computer is not his favorite.
Okay, Sherry, so I thank you for your time. You do meet the criteria to participate in this lawsuit. And so what you can expect is in a few moments, I'm going to be sending you a text message. That text will have a link to the authorization for legal representation. And before you sign it, you should know the law firm is interested in taking your case on a contingency basis. What that means is they don't get paid unless they're successful in getting you compensation for damages, okay? If in the event, in the unforeseen event, they're not successful in getting you compensation, you would not owe a penny to the firm, okay? You don't owe them anything.
Yeah.
They're only paid if they're successful, all right? So it's a win-win situation for you, ideally, if they get you compensated. Two is that the other form that you'll be signing is that authorization to release medical records. You'll see your name, your date of birth, your social. You'll see it's a request for medical records. Once it might seem that we're done, we do this interview, you sign the forms, you know from this call that there's one final step, the case verification call that occurs in 24 to 48 hours. The firm wants to confirm that you had depo injections, you developed a meningioma, and that it's okay for them to start working on your case by submitting that request for medical records. When you're both on the same page, that's when they start working on your case, okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, great. Before I send you the forms for you to sign electronically, by the way, have you ever done electronic signing before in the past? Are you familiar with the process?
I think so. Like you have to click on a box and
yes, correct.
Sign your initials or whatever. And
yes,
like
yes.
It clicks on like every place you're supposed
that's
to
right,
sign.
That's right, Sherry. It's a very intuitive application.
The doctors use that. That's why.
Yes, yes.
The doctors use that same.
It's a very intuitive application. It'll walk you through step by step, but I'll give you an overview. Before I send you those forms to sign, I do need to go over this information, okay? You were advised that this is a recorded call. You confirmed you would like to see if you meet the criteria to participate in this lawsuit, which you do. You've confirmed you don't already have an attorney, and you're willing to affirm under penalty that you have not signed any documents with another law firm for representation for this Depo Provera lawsuit. You are filing a claim for yourself because you're the injured party. You're both a resident as well as a citizen of the United States. You were regrettably and unfortunately diagnosed with a meningioma after taking Depo Provera for at least 1 year. The approximate date of your diagnosis was March 5th, 2021. Your date of birth is June 20th, 1965. At the moment, you don't have any referrals to provide, and if you do, you would provide them to me. You did consume or
What does
use.
that mean?
That's when I asked if you knew someone else that may have been harmed by Depo-Provera.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got you.
And you said you didn't really want to get involved, so I interpret that as being a no, I don't know
No,
someone.
I don't, because I keep it as no.
Okay, good. Right. Thank you. You did confirm that you used Depo Provera. That's the brand name. You did confirm it was for at least 1 year prior to your diagnosis, and you confirmed that you had at least four injections prior to your diagnosis. You did confirm we estimated that you started Depo Provera injections. For the qualifying time for, we only focused on 1994 to 1997. The firms are taking cases after 1992. So that's why I focused on 94 to 97, which answers the question you did use Depo-Provera after January 1st, 1992 through present date. The harm that was caused by Depo-Provera would be your meningioma diagnosis. You're female, married. We've confirmed the spelling of your first name, Shari, the middle initial S as in Sierra, and then last name Brenner. We've confirmed your social. We've confirmed your email address, your phone number. We've confirmed the residence that you're at. We've gathered information about your medical records that's going to be resourceful for the firm. That'd be the names of the doctors, the three doctors that diagnosed you as well as treated you, Dr. Michael B. Sisti, Dr. Sean Levine, Dr. E. Sander Connolly, all at New York Presbyterian Columbia University Medical Center. We confirmed the address for that medical center and the phone number. We've also gathered information about your prescription, who prescribed Depo-Provera. There's an important question I overlooked, and I want to ask you this. When you did get the Depo injections, did you receive it at the doctor's facility, or did you get the prescription, go to
Yes,
a
right in
pharmacy
her office.
at the office?
No, it was in her office.
Okay, got it. Okay. As opposed to like getting a prescription filled at a pharmacy and then self-administering the injection.
No,
Okay,
I
got
went
it.
right to her office,
Got
right?
it.
She had everything there.
Got it. Got it. Okay, good. And then I did note under additional medical notes, the additional doctors include Dr. Sean Levine, MD, neurological surgery, and Dr. E. Sander Connolly, Jr. All right. Okay. And so in a few short moments, you're going to be getting a text message with a link to the DocuSign forms. When you get those, when you get that text, the first thing you're going to do is click on the link. You'll be asked to agree to text messages or SMS messages. And then you'll see, please review and act on these documents. You'll see my name, John Maurer. I'm the case intake specialist that helps you get signed up to participate in this lawsuit. And below that, you'll need to put a check mark next to I agree to electronic records and signatures. And then you can follow the yellow navigation buttons, starting with start, and then continues will show you where on each page a signature initial is needed. I'll say, so bear with me here, okay? In a few seconds, you'll receive
Sure.
that text. And when you do, would you kindly let me know?
Am I going to do this on the phone with you?
Yes, correct. Yeah, so I
Or
can
do I
answer.
hang up and do it?
Yeah, so that way I can answer any questions you have about the agreements you're signing. I want to be available for you.
Okay, so you sent me a text message? Hold on.
Yes, correct.
Oh,
Yeah.
here it is. I got it.
You got it? Okay,
Welcome
great.
to the. Okay, so I'm clicking on it right now and I'm opening up.
Okay, so you
And
want to.
it's, I hit yes. Okay. Okay, continue. Review documents. Okay.
Scroll
It
down.
says,
Scroll down and you'll yep. see a box that says agreed electronic records and signatures.
I did that already. I'm on start.
Okay. You're on start. Okay.
Yep. Oh, wait a minute. I'm already on here. A signature. It just came right up.
Yeah. It's going to point you to the page where it needs a signature. And you can either draw your signature in the box or you can scroll to the left where it says select style. You can actually just let the app create a signature for you. Whatever you...
Yeah, it just did it.
It did it? Okay. And then you click on the page and put that signature right on that page and you hit continue to the next signature or initial.
Okay, hold on. It's going back to this one. I must be not letting me do it. Okay, respond. Required. Okay, I did it. Okay, now it says finish. Okay.
And
it says you're done signing, you want to download or continue.
So remember, I sent you copies of these forms you signed to your email address. So it's very important. You have copies of what you signed sent to your email.
Okay, so wait a minute. What is this now? They want me to buy something. Wait. It says DocuSign. Please pick your plan, annual or monthly, $10 a month or $120 a year. Buy it now. Build annually, standard, business pro.
You want nothing to do with that.
None of that, right?
No, correct. Yeah, you're not.
I didn't think so.
No, correct. Yeah, no, you're just using the app, this application just to do a one-time signing for this agreement to get signed up for the DEPA Prevera lawsuit.
Okay.
All right, so backed out of that, make sure you're not signing up. You're the first person that's ever told me that. I've never heard that.
Well, first time for everything, right?
No, I mean, I'm a little concerned about that. I need to know more. Okay. Yes, I see that you have completed the signing. All right. So remember that the final step, even though you and I are getting close to wrapping up, getting the sign-up process completed, don't forget that there's the case verification call that's going to occur between you and the law firm sometime in the next 24 to 48 hours. And I should let you know that the law firm that's interested in taking your case is a very prestigious and national law firm. They have a lot of experience litigating its billion-dollar corporations like Pfizer, the maker of DEPA Prevera. All right, so you're in really...
Oh, Pfizer.
Yes. You're in really good hands.
What about the guy from yesterday, United Healthcare? Fucking, that was a hit.
I know, that's awful.
At 6:45 in the morning, somebody didn't get a claim that got paid.
I know. I don't even know what happened, but it's
unfortunate. I'm sorry. I know a lot about insurance.
It's unfortunate. Okay, so let me do this. Now, I'm going to be sending you a text message from my office, from my desk, because I want you to have a written record of who was the gentleman, myself, John Maurer, that signed you up to participate in this lawsuit, okay? And so bear with me here. I'm preparing this text. And I also want to remind you in writing who the law firm is that's going to be reaching out to you in the next 24 to 48 hours. And it's going to be Pulaski Kirker. And they have co-counsels. I don't know if you caught the agreement carefully, but there's two other firms that are also involved in representing you. This is such a complex case, Sherry, that they utilize multiple law firms for representation, okay? But the lead firm is going to be Pulaski Kirker. They also have a managing agency that will do the case verification call. So you'll either get a call from A4D or Pulaski Kirker.
Okay.
Oh, get it? You got
it.
Yes, please add me to your contacts.
I just did.
Perfect. And so that's my contact information. And you see the important reminder, be on the lookout for a call from the law firm A4D and Pulaski Kirker, just in case their phone number is 909-906-3862.
Oh, wait a minute. I should probably put that in the notes. Wait. What was it again?
The phone number. Well, it's
949?
My number is 949.
What was the number you just said?
Oh, it's on the text message. If you read the text, the phone number to the law firm's in
that's
the text.
On the text message. Hold on.
Yes, yes.
Let me look at the text.
Okay.
Oh, 909-906-3863.
That's right. That's the name of the law firm. That's the phone number to the law firm. I'm sorry.
Well, I would like to finish this up because I'm on 3% on my phone and I don't have a charger handy.
Sherry, you know what? Guess what? You and I are finished. And before we end the call, I do want to say thank you for letting me help you get signed up to participate in this lawsuit.
No problem.
I know that you've done the right thing. You've started a good process. Contrary to your daughter, who is an attorney, I do believe it's in your best interest that you seek compensation. If you were, in fact, harmed by the depot injections, meaning you were diagnosed with a meningioma, I do believe it's important for you to participate in this lawsuit to let the makers of Depo-Provera know that it's inappropriate for them to market products and let consumers use these products without properly warning them of the risk. And that's the merit of this, the basis of this lawsuit is that the manufacturers of this product failed to warn the public of the risk of a person developing a meningioma after prolonged use. And had you known, you probably would have sought an alternative medicine as opposed to Depo-Provera. All right. And so.
Oh, totally.
This firm will help you get justice, okay? And I know these are unfortunate circumstances that brought us together, but I assure you, you're about to get legal representation from a reputable, experienced law firm and one that provides great service. So you won't be disappointed if they agree to take your case. All right? Is there any questions I can answer for you?
At the moment, no.
Okay.
With the flow. How's that?
Sherry, you've done well. I thank you for letting me help you again. You are wonderful to work with.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, and
You're very kind.
Thank you. Thank you. I wish you the very best. And if you have any questions, you do have my contact information. I'm available to answer any questions you may have. But I think you're going to be in good hands. In the next 24 to 48 hours, you'll be in contact with a law firm, and they will take it from moving forward. All right.
Sounds great.
Have a good
Thank
night.
You.
You're very welcome. Take care.
You too, sir. Take
Thank
care.
You. Bye, Sherry.